We read about Philip tonight in Acts chapter 8. Of course, we know him as one of the first seven deacons. We didn't read the first part of the chapter, but let me just read a couple verses 5 and 6 from that same chapter of Acts chapter 8. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." I think it's such a wonderful message. It's not my message tonight, but a wonderful message. When he went to Samaria and preached to a great number of people, he preached Christ. When God sent him to the desert to deal with a man one-on-one, he preached Christ. And I'll tell you what, folks, that's what the world needs today. They need to hear Christ preach. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." I've mentioned to you before, I've had people tell me, he said, "You know, you're a good preacher, you need to be an evangelist." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because you're always preaching Jesus. A pastor needs to do more than just preach Jesus." And I sort of looked at him and said, I sort of disagree with you. I think we need to preach Jesus all the time. Because Jesus is the, and by the way, he's the answer to everything. I mean, everything. There are folks here tonight going through it. And there's some things going on in individual lives. But you know what they need? They need Jesus. We need to be reminded what he did for us on Calvary's cross. We need to be reminded the price that he paid for our salvation. We need to be reminded that, as Ruth Ann did in that song, how he could love somebody like us. And whenever I think about how much he loves us, I don't apologize to preaching Christians about Jesus, because I remember I always like to quote the last song of that verse. I love to tell the story, "For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I've loved so long." And I think about that verse in Romans. That verse in Romans that says he, and I won't quote it right, but you'll get it. It's the thought is this: "He that gave us his own son to die in our place, to pay for our salvation, how shall he not freely give us of all things?" I mean, you got a problem tonight? You need something tonight? Then you go to God that gave you his son to die on Calvary in your place. After that, what is there? I mean, after that, everything else is small in comparison. And we need to go to God and we need to go to Jesus and tell him what we need. And he'll provide every need that we have. And so he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. The Holy Spirit called him from that revival in Samaria where many people got saved. And he says, "I want you to go south. I want you to go to the desert. I want you to go to Gaza." And it might seem strange to us that the Holy Spirit would take a preacher that's having such success and having a revival and say, "I want you to leave the city and I want you to go to the desert. I want you to leave that place where there are many people and I want you to go to the place there is just one." I thank God for revivals. I thank God for meetings where Jesus is preached and many people get saved. But I'm glad we got a God that's just as interested in the desert as he is in the city. I'm glad we got a God that's just as interested in the one as he is the many. I'll tell you what, I didn't get saved in a meeting. I got saved one-on-one. I got saved when my preacher took his Bible and down on our knees, he preached Jesus to me. And I'm glad, and I say hallelujah, that we've got a God that's concerned about the one like he is the many. I'm glad we got a God that says that he loved the whole world. But I'm glad we got a God that loved me as an individual. And I never, ever want us to forget as a church that Jesus is the one we ought to uplift. And if we do, he'll draw all men unto him. And so God called Philip. He said, "I want you to go to the desert. I want you to go to down south." And when he got down there, he saw this man. He was reading the book of Isaiah. And he was riding in a chariot. And God said, Philip, I want you to go near and join thyself to this chariot. And the Bible says, Philip ran. He ran. When God tells us to go, that's the same thing that we ought to do. We ought to run. When he points out where that we need to be somewhere, and when he points out a person that needs to hear about Christ, we need to run. And by the way, he's told us to go. He said in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we need to run. And so tonight I preach a sermon entitled, Go Near. Go Near. I want to give you some suggestions tonight about how we can be like Philip, how we can win the ones that Christ, or that God sends us to. And so I have 3 points. I'm going to tell you what they are before I start. We need, number one, to pick a person. Pick a person. We need, number two, to lay siege to them. And then we need, number three, to use common sense. Use common sense. So here we go. Pick a person. Pick a person to win. You know, most of us as Christians, all of us as Christians, ought to want to see other people saved. We ought to want to be a part of seeing other people saved. But you know what? Most of us don't pick out a target. We don't pick out a person to win. The masses are won one by one, and the way to start is pick somebody out to get for Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. I got an answer to that question. Number one, or let me just say it A, because I don't want you to really know how many points I got tonight. You'll get discouraged. So point one, part A, by prayer. By prayer. Philip didn't know the Ethiopian eunuch was going to be down there. He just knew that God told him to go. God knew exactly where the Ethiopian was. God knew exactly what he'd be doing. God knew exactly that Philip was the one that could win him. And so God told Philip, go down there. And when Philip saw the Ethiopian, he knew that's who God wants me to get. I'll remind you tonight that all of us are different. All of us are peculiar. Some of us are more peculiar than others of us. And I won't mention any names to protect the guilty. But we're different. And God knows the talents and the abilities that we have. And God knows the person that needs to be saved, the kind of person that needs to talk to them and preach to them Jesus. And so in answer to prayer, God will tell us who he wants us to pick. And so we need to pray. We need to ask God, God, I want to share Jesus with somebody. I want to share the gospel with somebody. Would you help me pick somebody out? Would you help me direct me to the person that you have lined up for me today to talk to? And would you make your will clear to me and ask him in prayer to help you pick out a person? A second way to pick out a person is by accessibility. You pick somebody that you have access to. You pick somebody that you can get to. I hear all these people that pray, well, save the masses in China. And I pray for the people in China. We support a missionary group that's in China, and I pray all the time. I pray for them that they could see many people saved. But you know what? Most of us are not going to get to go to China. Most of us are not going to get to go overseas and preach to somebody in China or someplace else like that. And so we need to pick people out, pick a target of somebody that's accessible to us. And let me tell you tonight, usually the most accessible people are the people at home. The most accessible people are the people that we call family. The most accessible people are the people that live in the same place that we do, or that we see often because they are part of our family. Jesus told the man from Gadara that he cast the demon out. He said, return to thine own house. Go home and show them what great things God has done unto thee. Andrew, when he got saved, when he met Jesus, and the first place that he went was home, and he found his brother Peter. He said, Peter, we found the Messiah. Come and see him. And Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And I know I know sometimes the hardest people for us to talk to are people in our family. Sometimes the hardest people for us to witness to are the people in our family. But what a wonderful privilege it is for a mom or a dad, or for a grandfather or a grandmother, to be able to take the Bible and sit down with their little child or their little grandchild and preach Jesus to them and see that little one come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's not a thrill like that in all the world. There's not a thing that will touch your heart like that in all the world, to see that little one that you love with all your heart, that you would give your life for, see them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So you pick somebody that's accessible, and then you pick somebody that's approachable. I mean, here was this Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And God opened the door for Philip, and he went up to him. He saw what he was doing. He says, "Do you understand? You understand what you're reading?" And what an answer. I mean, God just swung the door wide open when the eunuch says, "How can I unless some man explain it to me? How can I?" And I want to tell you, God hasn't changed. He works the same way today. He's still a door-opening God. If we'll make ourselves available to him like Philip did, if we'll be willing to go to Samaria when he says to go to Samaria, if we're willing to go to the desert when he says to go to the desert, he'll swing the doors open and he'll prepare people's hearts and he'll give us the opening to do the same thing that Philip did. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. So pick a person. Pick a person. Number two, lay siege to them. Lay siege, you know, when an army besieges a city, and we have several examples in the Bible where different armies besiege different cities, what they do is they surround them. They surround the city. And if you're in the city, it just doesn't matter where you look. You can just do a 360, and everywhere you look is that army. I mean, there's not a place that you can look that you don't see that army. We've had people that do that to us. I mean, one group of people that does that to us are called sales people. Huh? Any of you ever been, don't raise your hands, but just think about it with me. Any of you ever been besieged by a salesperson? I mean, it just seems like everywhere you look, here's this guy. I got a guy that's besieging me right now. He thinks I need new windows. He's called me on the phone 3 times, sent me 2 letters, showed up at my door one time, knocking on the door. Wants me to spend $9,000 on the windows. I said, "Oh, no, my windows are fine. They don't leak. They don't let air in. I can see out of them. Everything a window needs to be, I've got." But if somebody can do that to make a few bucks, why can't we do that to win somebody to Christ? Say, "Preacher, how do you besiege them?" Oh, I'm glad you asked. I got some answers to that one too. We besiege them by prayer. We surround them with prayer. We bombard heaven on their behalf. We go to God over and over and over again on their behalf, praying for them to get saved, praying for them to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, sometimes year after year, we lift them up in prayer and say, "God, here's somebody I love, here's somebody I know, here's somebody that you've brought across my path. They need Jesus Christ. I'm lifting them up to you." And you remember the story in the Bible of that widow and the unjust judge? Remember the widow kept going back and going back and going back? And the judge says, "I'm not going to do it because it's right. I'm not going to decide for her because it's right. I'm going to decide for her to get her off my back." And God says, "That's how I want you to pray. I want you to keep coming back. I want you to keep coming back. I want you to keep coming back." And we keep coming back for people that we know that need Jesus Christ. We besiege them in prayer. And maybe we enlist other people to pray with us about them. Maybe we get somebody else to sign up and say, I go to Terry and I said, Terry, I'm praying for this guy that I know. He needs Jesus as a Savior. I'm praying for him every day. Would you pray with me? Would you lift him up in prayer with me? Let's bombard heaven. Let's get God so tired of us praying for this person that he'll send the Holy Spirit and he'll put so much pressure on that person that he can't help but say yes to Jesus Christ. We besiege them by our prayer. We besiege them by our personal effort. If we just pray and don't go, it's insincere. We have to put feet to our prayers. We need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to speak to them about Jesus Christ. We need to tell them what happened to us. We need to tell them how we were a sinner. We need to tell them we realized that there was a penalty for our sin and there was nothing that we could do to pay for it. We need to tell them about the time, that first time, that we understood the love of God and how he sent his son to die in our place and pay for our sins. We need to tell them that. And we need to say, look, God will do the same thing for you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. And if you ask him, he'll save you. We need to besiege them with our personal efforts. We need to besiege them with letters. You know, letters are a dying art. Post office is going out of business because people don't write letters anymore. You know, it's so much easier for us to pick up the phone, so much easier to text and Twitter and all that other stuff. It's an investment. Listen to me. It's an investment to write a letter. Can you imagine the impact? If you wrote your son or your daughter that doesn't know Jesus Christ a letter and said something like this, Dear son, I know we've talked about this many times before, but I want to put it in writing. I want you to know that your dad cares about where you spend eternity. I want you to know that your dad cares and so much longs for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I want you to know that I am praying every day they ask Christ to save you. Say, preacher, my son lives two doors down. Doesn't make any difference. Can you imagine the impact that Dad took the time, invested his time, to write a letter and tell his son, tell his daughter, tell his grandson, tell his granddaughter that he loved him and that he was praying every day that he get saved. We besiege them a fourth way by tracts. I think there's great power in tracts. I read about a story about a mother that was praying for her son to get saved. And one of her strategies was to leave tracts all over the house. She had one pinned to the refrigerator. Every time he opened the refrigerator, he saw a tract. On every table in the house, there was a tract. Up in his bedroom, there were tracts in his dresser, tracts on his nightstand, tracts just everywhere he looked. He finally got so tired of it, he said, I can't take it anymore. I cannot take it anymore. I have got to get away. I cannot stand seeing all these tracks. So he went to a little place that had cabins, and he rented a cabin for the night because he just wanted to get away from his mom. He just wanted to get away from all these little tracks that told him about Jesus Christ. Well, this group of cabins was run by a Christian lady. And on every bed underneath the pillow, she put a tract. And the story goes, he was restless in the night, and he put his hand underneath his pillow, and he felt a little piece of paper. Pulled it out, a gospel tract. He says, Dear God, I can't get away from it. And he opened up that tract and read it and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. Amen. Let's besiege him. Besiege him with prayer. Besiege them with going and talking to him about Jesus Christ. Besiege them with a letter. Besiege them with a tract. And then number three, let's use common sense. Common sense is based on this book. Let me give a couple, 3 points in this for this point. Not, well, you know, A, B, C. A, be persistent. Don't give up. Don't give up. There are some people that are not going to be saved the first time you tell them about Christ. There are some people not going to be saved the second time you tell them about Christ. There are some people that you're going to pray for and you're going to talk to for years and years and years. I don't know if Helen's here tonight. I don't know if she's back in the nursery or not. I can't. She's not here. But those of you that have been here for a while, and those that are coming now, you know Betty Heslop. Her husband was Harold Heslop. And Betty and Helen are cousins. And Helen prayed for Betty and Harold to get saved for years and years and years and years. She would write them letters. She would give them tracts. She would invite them to church. Of course, they wouldn't come. They always had something better to do. But for years and years and years and years, she enlisted me to pray with her. And I put Harold and Betty on my prayer sheet. I'm sure she enlisted others in the church to pray for her cousin. And again, for years and years and years, and I think it was 40 years. I think it was 40 years that she prayed for those two. And I had the privilege of baptizing both of them. Because one lady said, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. So be persistent. Don't give up. Be courteous. Be courteous. You know, I found by experience, you can't argue a person into heaven. You can't. You can't argue them into heaven. You just can't. I've had a lot of people tell me that they didn't get saved early in life because somebody tried to argue them into getting saved. We can't argue people into heaven. So be courteous. Be winsome. Win them to yourself. It'd be a whole lot easier to win them to Christ if you can win them to yourself. Be their friend. Find out about their family. Find out about their kids. Find out about what they like. Make them a friend. And then win them to your friend, Jesus Christ. And then be broken. Be broken. Let them know that them coming to Christ is very, very important to you. Let them know that it's a heartfelt thing. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know what that means to sow in tears? It means that we get that person that God has led across our path that we've picked out because he's accessible and approachable. And we get that person on our heart. And we think about that person. And we think about that person going to hell. We think about the eternity that they will spend apart from Jesus Christ. And we think, if they could only come to know Jesus, if they could only come to know him, they wouldn't have to go to hell. They wouldn't have to go to that place of eternal punishment. They wouldn't have to live apart from God forever. And so the more we think about that, the more we weep. And the more we sow. And they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then finally, when I say use common sense, be full of love. Be full of the love of Jesus Christ. It was love for us that took him to the cross. It was love for us that caused him to die for us. And just like his love for us ended up in our salvation, our love for others ought to drive us to be a witness. Our love for others ought to drive us to tell them about Jesus Christ. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship God. And by the way, there's a difference between worshiping God and knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. There's a lot of people that worship God, and they have no idea that they're a sinner on their way to hell. But he went to Jerusalem to worship God. I don't know if he had the book of Isaiah when he went, or if he got it while he was in Jerusalem, but he was still searching. On his way home, he was still searching. He was still reading the scripture. He was still reading the Bible. And here's this man. I can just picture it in my mind. Sees this man standing beside the road, and then he notices the man's running. He's running along to the chariot, and he asks the question. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the answer was no. He said, "How can I? How can I? Unless some man explain it to me." That's the condition of the world today. They can't understand it unless somebody explain it to them. And we're the ones. And he said, "Come on. Get in. If you know something about this, get in. I want you to tell me. Get in. I want you to tell me." And if we've got our spiritual antenna turned on and we hear with spirit-filled ears, that's what many, many people that God leads across our path are saying. "I want to know, but I don't understand. And how can I understand unless somebody explain it to me?" And they open up doors and they say, "Come on in. Tell me." And we need to go in like Philip did. And we need to do the same thing that Philip did. We need to preach Jesus. We need to preach Jesus. We need to tell them about Jesus. You know the rest of the story. Pretty soon, as they were talking and Philip was preaching to them and talking to them, they came across a little pool of water. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "Hey, here's some water. What stops me from getting baptized?" And Philip said, "Nothing if you believe in Jesus. If you believe in him." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he is my Savior." And Philip had the privilege, like I did this morning, of taking him down into the water and baptizing that Ethiopian eunuch. And then God took him to his next assignment. The Bible says God just took him. Go near. Go near. Go near. Because there's people out there that need Jesus Christ. There may be somebody in here that needs Jesus tonight. Let me remind you, you're a sinner. He paid the price for your sin. And he invites you to come and receive that gift of eternal life. And we only get it through him. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to save you, not a better time to do it than 7:02, August the 14th, 2011. Not a better time to do it than right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction and the encouragement that we get from it. And I pray that we would go near. We would go to those people that you lead us to. We would go to those people that are accessible to us, that are approachable. and we would tell them about Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help us to do that. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know him, right now they'd ask him to save them. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.